Pastor, for having me today. It's good to be here with you. See so many familiar faces and some new ones. Amen. God has continually been doing some things in our life and recently has changed some direction that, you know, he's continually making things new in our life. And he's caused Kim and I to begin another ministry called For This Cause International. God spoke to me one day. I was praying, and from John 18:37, where Jesus is before Pilate, and he says to him, you said I'm a king. And to put it in my paraphrase, he said, and for this cause, for the cause of the kingdom, I've been sent into the world to bear witness to the truth. And I believe that's what God has called us to do, is to go into the nations. I heard Pastor declare about thinking about missions in a different way. I've been giving missions a whole lot of thought. How many of you know that just a few years ago, if you were called to missions in any way, you got on a boat, you traveled a long distance, you waved goodbye to your family, and you might come home someday. The missions is a whole lot different now. We have these wonderful things called airplanes. And you know, the reality is God's not called me to one nation, but he's called me to the nations. I've been to Kenya, been to Burundi, been to Haiti, been to Dominican Republic, and seen God do signs and wonders and miracles and mass salvations in each and every one. As they roll some of those pictures, just as I'm speaking this morning, just I wanted to share a few things of some of the pictures of in Kenya, some of the wonderful children as they enjoy the wells that you've been a part of. This region of Northeast North Carolina pulled together last year, and we were able to do a fresh water well that will, at certain times of the year, be the only water source for 40,000 people. Can you imagine your child saying, I can't do my homework because I have to go get water? The children in Kenya spend 2 to 3 hours a day just getting water. And when they get it, it's not something you would normally want to drink. Fresh water brings life. Brings life to the people of Kenya. The orphanage that Pastor made mention of, I've been told now, has increased from 7 children, about 17 children there that I will be seeing next week, that we will go and leave next Sunday to go to a major crusade in Narok, Kenya. That I believe during that time, the next few days, in fact, I would covet your prayers during that time, because I believe there'll be no less than 50,000 salvations that'll take place during that time. 50,000 people whose soul hangs in the balance, that they're making a decision, do I follow Christ or do I do something else? And I believe that our prayers can sway that balance, amen? That God has allowed us to do a number of things. And you know, as I came today, also, I need your help. Pastor will call about some things here later in the service, but I also need some people. There's some unique individuals that I'm searching for, because God spoke to me about intercessors. Interesting enough, I have some in North Carolina, one in West Virginia, one in Chesapeake. People that see things in the spirit. People that pray while we're preaching. And there may be an individual here that God has uniquely placed that unique call upon your life. I'll take every single person that says, I'll pray for you. But there's some unique individuals. God spoke to me about 8 individuals to support the ministry in that area of intercession. If that's you, you could see me after the service. So many ways to be involved with giving, with sending some things. You know, I already started packing Bibles and putting some things away. You have to be careful. I wish I could just open it up and give everybody a Bible. But this time last year, I was in one service on a Sunday night that God broke through a region that was very hard to touch. And 70,000 people came to a soccer field to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. In a town of 40,000 people. Out of that 70,000 people, 1,100 Muslims denied Allah and gave their life to Jesus Christ. Today, I want to share a message with you very briefly. Now, I believe God has set us up in so many ways. Even the prophetic word that was given, our things that were said about our thought life, and how do we get to a place that we're at sometimes. Have you ever found yourself asking that question, what do you want with me, Jesus? You know, I found that's a question that we have to ask repeatedly. And it's a matter of where we put the emphasis on that question. There's been a time in my life where I'd say, what do you want with me, Jesus? Pastor made mention of a shipyard worker. Things he didn't make mention of was Sometimes alcohol abuse, drug abuse, just humanity apart from Christ. And I said, what do you want with me? Do you even want me? But I find that Kim and I are now in another place in our journey with the Lord, and we're asking again, what do you want with me, Jesus? What would you have us do? How would you have us go? What is it you'd have us accomplish when we're there? What's our purpose? What are we doing? That God is continually changing and doing things in all of our lives as we journey with Him. And I think it's a question we ask not one time in our life, but repeatedly throughout the course of our life. And I believe God's going to speak to some people today. In fact, I believe He's already begun to speak to some people through the prophetic words and the worship. Wasn't the worship wonderful this morning? Amen. Give the praise team a hand. They do a good job. Amen. And as we look at this passage in Mark chapter 5, I want you to do something different. I want you to put yourself in the story. You see, Pastor, I think, was reading my notes this morning. I thought, oh, he's going to preach my message before I get there. That's okay. Amen. Isn't it wonderful when the Holy Spirit just intertwines things all the way through? To show you that He's in control of things, that He is working and speaking in your life. As we look at this passage, I want you to put yourself in this story. Pastor already made mention, probably what most of us would think the most extreme case in all of Scripture, often referred to as the Gadarene demoniac. But Luke says simply that he was a person from the town. You know what? He could be from Ahoskie, from Colerain, from Murfreesboro. He could be your neighbor. Could be you. It could be me. It could be any one of us. So as we look at this story, I want you to put yourself in the story, because Mark's gospel says something very specific about this man, and it's found only in the King James version of the Bible. I usually preach from the NIV, but the King James reads it a little bit different way. It says this: but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. He worshiped. He fell down and gave honor to Jesus Christ. And yet this man has some significant issues in his life. You know, the NIV doesn't include it, but it's there in the Greek. It literally means to come and kiss. In fact, it almost implies like a dog licking its master's hand. Anybody have any pets at home and the dogs slip up beside you and they just lick you on the hand. They just say, I just want you to know I love you. I just want you to know I'm here. And I really want your affirmation in my life. We have a dog at home, and all I have to do is rub him on the head, and he just loses his mind. He just goes crazy. He's just not himself anymore. It says this man was a worshiper, yet he has some issues. Can I tell you today that you're not the total sum of your troubles? You're not the product of your problems. You are not defined by your past bad decisions. But the enemy comes and sometimes tries to remind us of those things, doesn't he? He tries to remind us of who we once were, but that guy's dead. That shipyard worker, that guy that woke up and put tequila in his orange juice, no longer is alive. Amen. He's been dead. He's been buried with Christ and now lives a new life in Christ Jesus. It says of this man that he was a worshiper. And I wonder, how did he get to this place if he was a worshiper? Because Luke's gospel tells us that he has no clothes. How do you get to a certain place where you don't even have the most basic human needs in your life? You know, I was in Dominican Republic in March, and when you're in the barrios, you see kids that just run around with no clothing at all. In Haiti, some of the same thing. How do you get to a place where you don't even have the most basic remedial part of protection and comfort in your life? And come to a place where some things that once brought you a sense of peace, once brought you comfort, now only brings pain. Have you been enjoying the warm summer days that we've been having? I bet there's some of you, you've gotten out and you've enjoyed the sunshine and worked in the yard, but you ever overdid it and got sunburnt? And now what once brought a sense of comfort, what once brought a sense of well-being in your life now only brings pain and a scorching heat. This man is to a place where he has absolutely nothing. He's naked. Isn't it something that God created Adam and put him in the garden? And one of the first things Adam realized is he was naked and afraid. Now shame comes into his life. Shame dominates who he is and dominates his thought life. And he finds himself hiding from God when all along God wants to come down and fellowship with him. It says of this man, it tells me in this story, I want to look real quickly how he got there, how Jesus brings him out, and what he has him do afterward. You see, it says in the scriptures that this man not only had no clothing, but he had not lived in a house for a long time. All of us have a home of some sort, and we have a means of egress, going in and out, doors and windows, and those things define what is allowed to come into our home. Those things hold some things out and allow other things to come in. It doesn't matter whether this man made bad choices or somebody violated his boundaries. The end result's the same. You know, I know what it's like to have boundaries violated in my life. I know what it's like to have my home vandalized. In fact, I was working at home one day, and around lunchtime, I took a meal to a shut-in, and someone that couldn't get out, and I was only gone about an hour and a half when I returned. Someone had kicked in my front door, ransacked our house, thrown things all over the place, tore the place all to pieces. And the things that they took were virtually nothing. But I remembered a sense of fear. A sense of feeling violated had begun to come into our life, my life and my wife's life. That if we hadn't quickly grabbed hold of some things and realized those things do not have authority. It's not the wooden door that holds things out. It's the presence of God that holds things out. It's the word of God that declares who I am and who you are that holds things out. The enemy comes and tries to violate our space. But the scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians we're to take every thought captive and make it obedient to the cause of Christ. See, sometimes we'll even say things, well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, you are a saint of God. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The scriptures declare you have the mind of Christ. You are a vessel of his glory and his anointing. That's what you were created for. This man was a worshiper, yet he has some problems. He said he had not lived in a house for a long time. And since he hadn't lived in a house, he's going to live somewhere else. He lives in the tombs. I was in Israel in November, and they talked about this area, this region. But you know, it's not just poor people that live in the tombs. That place of remembrance. Just last weekend, we celebrated Memorial Weekend. We celebrated a time of memory, those that gave their life in service to our country. And many of us venture to the graveyard, and we put flowers on the grave and wreaths on the grave. In fact, this afternoon, as Pastor said, we will memorialize a life well lived, one that has gone before us, that honored Christ throughout her life and shared Jesus with people. And we will remember those things, and it's a good thing to remember, but you can't live there. Have you ever had thoughts that just kind of continue to come back and flood your mind, and it's like you don't even want to think that anymore? And the enemy just kind of keeps bringing it back over and over and over. And to live in a place of remembrance. He lives in the place where there's no life, dead things. There was a woman in my church that came in one day, and she could tell she was very upset. And she had had lunch with a friend. Her friend happened to be a counselor, and she was telling her about these horrific dreams she was having. You see, her husband passed away about 13, 14 years ago. And it was a very turbulent marriage. He was a recovering alcoholic, but he gave his life to Christ before he went to be with the Lord. And this woman was waking up, unbeknownst to me, waking up 3 and 4 times a week for the last 14 years with these horrific nightmares. And the counselor said to her, "Oh, you haven't forgiven him." With tears running down her face, she said, "Pastor, I really thought I had. I really thought." She had done everything she knew to do. I said, wait a minute. It's not a matter of forgiveness. This is a matter of a demonic oppression in your life that has no right and no authority. If you allow me, let me pray for you. She said, "Absolutely." Prayed one prayer with her. That was almost a year ago. I talked with her last week. She's not had one bad dream. For 14 years, a saint of God, a worshiper of God, that was tormented by something because she thought was normal. She thought that's just the way it is. Sometimes we tolerate some things in our life. And it says of this man that he's living in the tombs and he begins to cut himself. Can you imagine somebody has so much pain inside, they take a knife, a sharp instrument, and cut their arms? Rather common, but not new, is it? Maybe you're here and you say, you know, oh, I would never do that, but I have found that people can cut themselves in many ways. Have you ever found somebody that they continually put themselves down and say things like, oh, I'm so stupid, dumb, forgetful. You fill the things in that we begin to cut ourselves. In fact, there are those that get to a place they even cut their relationships. After all, it's not supposed to be going this good. I don't deserve this much blessing. Or it's going well on the job. You get a promotion. The boss gives you favor. And you know what? Something says, I'm not supposed to be doing this well. And they self-deprecation of their life, and they find themselves sabotaging the very blessing of God and what He wants to do in their life, because somewhere or another a sense of self-worth says, I don't deserve all this. I don't deserve to be able to go to the nations. I don't deserve the salvation God has given me. I don't deserve His love. But I have it anyway. Praise God. Amen. Favor, grace, I can never earn it. And sometimes in our Christian circles, if we're not careful, subtly we begin to try to earn some things. If I do everything just right, then God will move in my life. And God sometimes just wants to set us free and say, you know what, I want to bless you simply because I love you. I want relationship. It's not a matter of a performance-based mentality. That it says of this man that he cuts himself and he gets the wrong idea about God. I want you to picture the next verse. It says this. He shouted at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus? And then he goes on and says, have you come to torment me? And it's something that there are times that we would even say things like, God had to smack me upside the head. God doesn't smack his children upside the head. He does discipline and reprove those that he loves. Amen? And I have been disciplined and reproved sharply. And I've always felt loved in the process. I remember ministering to a woman in the community. She was not in my church. She was in part of the church, but she didn't attend my church. And she was wrestling with some things. I was just trying to encourage her about her prayers. And I said, if I were you, I think I would get quiet and go before the Lord and ask him this question. How do you see me? And I looked at her and her eyes got big and fear gripped her. She said, I'm not doing that. I did that a couple years ago and I'm not going through that again. And I said, honey, I don't think you heard the voice of God. I think what you heard was a disapproving, alcoholic, abusive parent that abandoned you. And with tears running down her face, she said, could that be the last few years I was not listening to God at all? Yeah. Yeah. God disciplines and reproves those that he loves. This man has the wrong idea about God. It's been said that the most important thought you will ever think is what you think about when you think about God. Because out of that, everything else flows. How you interact with people, how you love people, how you perceive correction, how everything else flows out of your relationship with God. And God has revealed himself as a loving heavenly Father. And sometimes for part of our community, that's difficult for them to accept because it hasn't been modeled very well. Yet God still reaches out his hands and loves them. You know what I found when I go to Kenya is, God has just given me great favor with one demographic of the community, the children. The children are just warm and friendly, and they embrace you. And in Kenya, what you realize is children don't interact with their parents very much. They don't interact with adults at all. In fact, in a church service like this, the ushers would have sticks about 3 feet long, about that big around. And if a child somewhere that they're not supposed to be, they get swatted, some of them with pretty significant force. You know, I found myself at times had to take those sticks out of the hands of ushers. Said, we're not going to use these today. Said, we don't need these today. The children are not unruly. They're well behaved. But just in a culture that is used to force. And what I find is that children readily come up and rub on your arms and realize you have hair where people don't normally have hair. And and will tuck themselves up underneath your arm or come and sit on your lap. And what I realize is that's so very uncommon there. That sometimes they just have not received the love and the nurture that we all need. I wonder about this man. This man in our story that sees God in the wrong way, that has gotten to a place that is so bad that he's cutting himself, that he hasn't lived in a home, that his thought life has not been secured. It says that this man was chained hand and foot. Have you ever tried to put external controls on some things? I mean, we say things like, I'm going to try really hard. I'm going to try really hard. I'm going to try to pray more. I'm going to try to be better. I'm going to try to love people more. Can I just tell you today, stop trying. Just stop trying. And just let God move through your life. We try so hard, and sometimes then we find ourselves continue to fail. He breaks off these chains, and no one can control him. I can't picture a person in a worse condition, and yet Mark says this man is a worshiper. You know, when I go to Kenya, during the day we'll minister 3-4 sessions to pastors. And what I have found each and every case is there's always some degree of demonic possession. Always. On the praise team? On the ushers? You see, the fact that you have a problem doesn't mean that you're not a worshiper. It just means you have a problem that needs to be dealt with. There were times in my life that I've had problems. And you know, as I come to God, he deals with them. He heals me. He brings deliverance into my life. It says of this man that he was driven even into solitary places. You know, I thought about ministering here today, and do I even skip over that point? But I realized in a body like this that live streams, isn't that wonderful that we now have technology that the gospel of Jesus Christ can go out over the airwaves and the world wide web, and people in Maryland can listen to it, and people in Texas and Florida can watch your service and be a part. Isn't that a wonderful thing? But it also let me know that there are times that people begin to isolate themselves. They're driven into lonely places. There are people that are watching on live stream not because you can't be here, not because you're not in the area, but you just chose and didn't want to rub shoulders with the rest of the body of Christ. And if I could, excuse me for just a moment, speak to those individuals, because I believe there's an atmosphere of healing. And even if you're watching it on your computer, you can reach out and you can touch the heart of God, and he can bring healing into your life. He wants you whole. He wants you whole. And yet we can begin to isolate ourselves. You know, I encountered a man the first time I went to Kenya in Tabaka. A man that was isolated by the rest of the group and covered with filth. Covered with filth. 2 layers of clothes inside and out, and was just wandering. He had his lunch with him. His lunch consisted of a boiled potato and a piece of corn about this long, that it looked like someone had kicked down the road for about a week. Covered with squalor. And as God brought healing into his life, I was able to minister to him and actually take him somewhere he could get cleaned up and got him some new clothes. And God continued to do a work in his life. But you know what? He had bags of money in his pocket. Bags of money. In an area that somebody may not make $20, $30 a month, he had the equivalent of what you and I would have in $15,000 to $20,000 in his pocket. Sometimes affluence can cover up a problem. We could look good on the outside. He didn't look so good on the outside, though he had the resources to. He just didn't use it. Sometimes in America, I think we use our resources just to cover up what's inside. And you know, I believe God has brought us to a place in the body of Christ. He doesn't want you looking good. He wants you whole. He wants you healed. This place where he's driven into solitary places. You see, Jesus dealt with this very same thing. In John chapter 8, he's ministering, and he says to these Pharisees, even as he's teaching, he says, many of them put their trust in him. Put their trust in him. That sounds like a salvation experience to me. And Jesus says these words that are probably familiar to you in John chapter 8. He says, if you remain in my word, then you're really my disciple. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You see, sometimes we think, oh, I came to Christ and suddenly I'm free. I'm completely free and I don't have to have any problems. And oh, heaven forbid, I don't ever tell Richard that I'm going through anything because after all, I'm a Christian. But I haven't found that to be the case in my life. I found that God takes me from faith to faith and glory to glory and continues to work in my life. And all I have to do to win is not give up. And every time I fall down, I get back up. It says in John 8, Rather than receiving their healing, they turn on Jesus. And I wonder sometimes, how many times have I done that? Rather than being healed, I try to blame somebody else. I try to cast it off on someone else. I try to declare, after all, I don't even have a problem. That's what the Pharisees said. We've never been anybody's servant. We've always been free. We're Abraham's children. I wonder how often that we've missed what God wants to do because, truthfully, we're just not open enough to be healed. You see, Jesus brings this man to a place and he asks him a question that he asks of us. What is your name? What's your name? What do you say about yourself? How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a child of God? Do you see yourself as love? Do you see yourself as walking in His anointing? Do you see yourself as whole, healthy, complete? Or do you see yourself with just your problems? Reminds me of Genesis 32, doesn't it? Where Jacob is running away and now he's getting ready to see his brother Esau that he's tricked in the past and he sent all his belongings over ahead, and as he wrestles with the angel of the Lord all night just before daybreak, the angel asks him the same question, what is your name? I can hear Jacob say, my name, I thought I dealt with this. It's still Jacob. I'm still a trickster. I'm still a deceiver. Still a con man. Been playing a game for a long time. But you know something? It's at that very moment when he comes to the end of himself that God doesn't counsel him. He doesn't give him any instruction. He simply says, no more. No more. It's at that very instant. He says, no longer will you be called Jacob. No longer will you be a deceiver, but you'll be Israel because you're a prince of God. He changes his nature. He changes his character. Today can be a turning point in your life if you've ever seen yourself in any other way than how God sees you. Amen. Sometimes we wind up begin to input those things into our life, don't we? We'll say things like, well, I'm depressed. I'm broke. I'm sick. I'm ADD. I'm this, I'm that. I'm divorced. And we liken ourselves to the trouble that we've gone through in the past, and we identify with that, and that becomes who we are. But that's not who you are. It's just something you experienced. That's not who you are. You are a child of the living God. You are His anointed. You are called to declare His praises. You are a royal priesthood and a holy nation. You are His beloved. And anything else short of that just isn't so. This man comes to a place and Jesus asks him this question and says, what is your name? I can see him, you know, because I've lived that. You don't even want to know all the problems I got. Let's just call them legion. I got so much stuff going on, you don't have time to hear it. Things are not going good on the job. Might get laid off. In fact, things are not so great at home. We're not communicating. I don't know what's going on with the kids. In fact, my mom and dad, they got troubles. And now the doctor says I have to come in for these tests. I got more stuff going on than you can possibly imagine. Let's just call them legion. You know what? Jesus never asked him this question until he first had said, he already spoke to the spirit to leave. Did you hear what I said? Jesus doesn't ask you a question like that till he has already taken authority over your situation. It's not a matter of giving him the right answer. It's not a matter of looking good. It's a matter of being honest before him and how you see yourself. And Jesus said that in this story that he had already spoken to the spirit to come out of the man. And then he asked a question. Now how do you see yourself? Sometimes we have to walk out some things. You know, the reality that I see is that sometimes it's easier for people to get healed than it is for them to stay healed. That sometimes we have to walk out our healing. For about 4 years, I've wrestled with something that my hands would go numb. I prayed for a lady earlier. Her toes and legs were doing the very same thing. My hands would go completely numb. They would tingle, and they were quite painful. I'd wake up in the morning with tears. And one day, I prayed one of those phenomenal prayers of faith. You've prayed them. God, it would encourage my faith if you'd heal my hand. Not so much. And God graciously did. And you know what I find is every time I go in the mission field that I wrestle with those things that would come back and try to tell me I'm not healed. That I'm fine until I'm ministering the gospel in another area and dealing with issues and principalities and powers. When I went to Haiti, I counted one night. I woke up 9 times throughout the night. I only slept for about 5 hours anyway. In that 5 hours, I woke up 9 times. And I'd say, you just need to get in line with what God has already said. Some of you need to do that very thing over your life. It's time for you to get in line with what God said about me. It's time for you to get in line. It's time for my body to come in line with what God has already said. It's time for my emotions to come in line with what I already said. It's time for my words and my verbiage that are coming out of my mouth to get in line with what God has said. It's time for your life to line up with his plan. This man had some problems, but Jesus says he was a worshiper. And there's something that God changes us and transforms us. He takes Jacob to Israel. He says, Apostle Paul, a man that was a murderer. He says, no, this is my chosen vessel. Imagine that. A man that had killed people and now a chosen vessel to carry a message of grace to the Gentiles. He says of a woman that had an alabaster box, religious people said, oh, she's a sinful woman. And Jesus said, no, she's a worshiper. Let me declare something over your life. You may have some issues that you're dealing with, but I believe God looks at your life and says, you are a worshiper. Focus on the worship. Focus on who he is, not what your situation speaks about you. You know, I see this story. We know the story. It's included in all three synoptic gospels, that Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And that it says the spirit goes into the pigs and the pigs run into the sea. And then that what God does with our sin, throws it into the sea of forgetfulness. Takes it away where we can never stir it up again. And if he says I'm whole, if he says I'm holy, if he says I'm his, then who am I to argue with him? Amen? But it says then that the rest of the story, the people came and they see this man clothed and in his right mind. Clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Not everybody will be happy about your deliverance. Not everybody will be thrilled over what God is doing in your life. And this man, I see one thing in his life that I think we're going to close with today. If the ministers have come forward and we're going to call people, I believe that God is working in some people's lives. Pastor made mention of this, and you think, how could somebody get to a place of living with no clothes? And if we're not careful, we'll put in comparison our life. Well, it's not that bad. Well, are you taking control of your thought life? Are you standing guard on the doors of your house? Are you like David, setting no evil thing before you, walking uprightly before the Lord within your house? Has the enemy come in and violated some of those things? And I see something in this man's life because he's a worshiper. It says that he begged Jesus to get into the boat. That's what worshipers do. We just want to be with the Lord, don't we? Amen. Some of you say, absolutely, where else would you want to be? After all, he's ministered healing, he's ministered wholeness. But can I tell you, there's a place where the church just still wants to stay in the boat. It's good to come in God's house. It's good to fellowship with brothers and sisters. And Jesus gives him an assignment. You see, today's message is one of healing, one of deliverance, but also one of an impartation, because Jesus gives him something larger than he could ever imagine. He says, no, you can't go with me now, but go back to the town and tell everything that has happened. Sometimes we tell part of it. We don't like to tell everything. Somebody needs to hear your story. Somebody needs to know what you're going through. And it says that this man went throughout the Decapolis. He went through a 10-city region. There's somebody here that I believe, fat brother, let me just say right to you, that you're one of them. God is calling you to bigger things than what you think. He wants to enlarge your territory. He wants to open some things up for you. There's some others here that you're looking and seeing things just in the boat. I just want to be with Jesus, and that's a good thing. But God says, you know what? The world needs what you have. Amen. It would be easy enough to stay in North Carolina, but God is enlarging our territory. He's not just giving us cities. He's giving us nations. He's giving us the nation of Kenya. In September, he's giving us the nation of Uganda. In January next year, he's giving us the nation of the Dominican Republic and Haiti. That God wants to enlarge your territory. And this morning, as ministers would come, because there's going to be some people come. And in fact, Pastor, with your permission, can I pray for our ministers? And then they're going to pray for some others. Brother, that's you. It's you. Declare it. An entire region. No longer a little boat. An entire region. Hallelujah. 10 cities. Larger than you thought. Amen? Did I bear witness with you? Amen. Amen. God wants to enlarge what you're doing. It's not just for them. That's for you. That's for you. Can I tell you something? I remember watching people and thinking, I could never do that. After all, I didn't even know if God wanted me. Today, as people begin to come, I want you to ask that question. What do you want with me, Jesus? And you know what? You're free to put the emphasis anywhere you need it. If you're here today and your question is, I don't even know if you do want me, God is big enough to handle that situation. If your question today is, God, I know you love me, but what do I do? Where do I go? He's big enough to give you direction. Amen? I'm going to pray for these, and then I'm going to ask you to come. If God's spoken to you today, I want you to just come and stand before one of these men or women and let them lay hands on you and pray for you. Today, with no shame, all the way through the service, God spoke to us about healing. All the way through the service, from pastor's comments to a prophetic word, God has spoke to us. Today is the day of your deliverance. Today, let me declare something over our lives. Today, no more. Today, no more. We're not taking it no more. We're not putting up with living below our means anymore. Today, we're going to walk out the nature and the character of God in our life. Amen? Father, we thank you. Thank you for these men and women right now, Lord God. Father, thank you for the areas of service. Answer all my brother's questions. All the questions, Lord God, you haven't wasted anything. Put all the pieces together, Lord God, to show him how it fits in the whole of your kingdom. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for these, Lord God, your servants. Lord, may they become flames of fire, Lord God, your anointing to go forth to the people. Father, I lift my brother, Lord God. Thank you for his heart. Thank you for Lord, he's declaring, Lord, give me a city. Lord, give him a county. Give him a region. Give him a state, Father. Give him North Carolina. Do a greater work in his life than he ever thought possible. Thank you, Lord God. Father, thank you. Thank you for these men, Lord God, that are serving you. And yet, Lord God, they may too be a worshiper. Today, there may be an issue in their life. There may be something that they're dealing with. Today, we declare no more. No more will you live below your means. No more will you think you're less than what you really are. No more will you think you're not anointed. No more will you think that God doesn't love you like he loves others. No more. No more. Today we declare and decree over their life the fullness of God and all his blessings to be manifest in their life. We thank you, Lord God. Thank you for those, Lord, raising up a generation and giving them a heart of missions. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. We ask your blessing, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you come this morning? Would you come? If God spoke to you this morning, if you said, you know, I may not be naked, but the truth is I've let some barriers down. Maybe it's not your fault. Maybe somebody has violated your boundaries. Maybe someone has spoken things over your life, even as a child, that was not of God. Today is a day of your healing. Today is a day of a brand new start for you. Today is your day. Maybe you find yourself even cutting yourself. There might be somebody here today that has actually taken a sharp instrument and cut their flesh. There may be others that you've find yourself speaking negatively about yourself on a regular basis. God wants to renew your mind. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just worship him for a moment. Let's just worship him. When this man comes to Jesus, he then empowers him to fulfill his prophetic destiny. Your purpose is what waits. What God would have you to do, the blessings he has for you. This man was restored to his family. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's some of you that you've been happy just to serve the Lord. You just want to stay in the boat. And God's speaking to you even right now that it's your turn to step out. He wants to do something more in your life than what you thought. He wants you to step out of the boat. He may give you 10 cities. He may cause you to walk upon the water. But he doesn't want you to sit idle. God sees you today as a worshiper. Product of your past, but you're about to fulfill your future. Yeah.